you had a lot of cats in your house. And what I need you to do is to go get some cat food. Meow mix. Go get some meow mix and pick up some lesbian strippers on your way back.
So this week, and I found this out, is the 50th anniversary of the release of one of my favorite movies from childhood, The Bad News Bears, which came out on April 7th, 1976. Directed by Michael Ritchie, took in $42 million at the box office that year. Do you guys remember this? Of course you remember this. Have you ever seen this movie, Lizzie?
Yeah.
The original one, not the horrible one with Billy Bob Thornton. From 2005. And I'm only bringing it up. I just saw it on social media. But the main cast of this movie, Walter Matthau, who played Coach Morris Buttermaker, Tatum O'Neill played Amanda Wurlitzer, Vic Morrow, who sadly passed away when they were making the Twilight Zone movie, and is also, what's his daughter's name, the actress?
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That's right. Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad. He played Roy Turner, who was the coach of the Yankees. He had Jackie Earl Haley as Kelly Leak, the chain-smoking, motorcycle-riding Little League player. Joyce Van Patten played, like the lady that took care of the grounds and all the equipment. And Ben Piazza as Bob Whitewood. Had two sequels, The Bad News Bears and Breaking Training, which came out in 1977. And The Bad News Bears Go to Japan, which was on the drive-in screen behind me in Wildwood, New Jersey, when we saw Grease. At the drive-thru in Wildwood, New Jersey. So I was looking back there watching that, too. There was also a 1979 television series, which ran 26 weeks, featuring Jack Warden, Corey Feldman, former guest of this show. I remember watching that series and being all jazzed for it, but it ended up getting canceled. Hey, Yankees, you can take your apology and your trophy and shove them straight up your ass. I believe that was Tanner who said that.
We're already.
We keep playing like this, we'll be the laughing stock of the league.
Well, what do you expect? All we got on this team is a bunch of Jews, pansies, and a booger-eating moron.
Tanner was the one that everybody loved because he was the most foul-mouthed. Now, I didn't even think that it had been 50 years, but I love that movie. And I remember the last time I watched it was a couple of years ago before Gilbert was born. My wife saw me watching it, and she actually sat. This is when we had time to sit down together and watch movies. So she could not believe, she had never seen it, she couldn't believe all the curse words in it. And now imagine between now and then, like the stuff my son watches, he's almost five. He likes to watch these videos that look like video games of cars going down ramps and crashing into things and catching on fire. And they drop all these sound bites in them, and most of them I can cover up or he doesn't know what they mean. But now they've added the Donald Trump one where he goes, "I'm gonna come." And it's a real sound bite. He wasn't talking about, "I'm going to," but he was saying, "I'm gonna come to some event." So they're all through. And so Gilbert the other day went, "I'm gonna come." I went, "No, we're not." So happy 50th birthday to Bad News Bears. I know where I saw it. I follow Jackie Earl Haley on TikTok. And so I sent him a message, which I'm sure he'll never see, read, or get back to if he does. But I'd love to have him on this show. So anyway, happy birthday, Kelly Leak, Jackie Earl Haley. I know you watch this show every week. Please come on the show. So I got caught up over the weekend. Caitlin and Gilbert were in Boston, and I finally watched two movies you guys have already seen, Weapons and Sinners. Weapons blew me away. I had no idea. I didn't even know what it was about. I looked it up. I knew it was about kids and stuff, but man, what a really good movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we all liked the movie he did before that one, right? The director.
Barbarian.
Yeah, how gross that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know. I had free time. I was going to watch some of these movies. And then immediately after that, they started playing Sinners, which to me was visually beautiful. The acting was really good. The music was good, but I just got bored and I wasn't into it. I didn't like it very much.
Can I tell you the reason I all those things that you said, and it was entertaining.
Yes.
Like it was. It had like three different endings. Was it like three or four? That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like they kept wanting to end it and then ending it another way.
It was kind of like Lord of the Rings, where they could have ended it a little earlier, but they gave you an ending for every character in the story.
Yes.
That was kind of odd. You can see how it's very, very similar to From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In its construction. But now Weapons was awesome. It's still crazy because it was all shot here in Covington and in Griffin. So, yeah, I mean, the gas station that Long runs up to her at, I get gas there at that pump.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly, like, looking over my shoulder at that little picnic area, just waiting for somebody to run across.
Benedict Wong, fantastic. There's a lot of Marvel people in here. Benedict Wong, Alden, Aaron Reich, who played Paul, Josh Brolin was great. And everybody's talked about this, so we're not really, you know, this. I know this is old hat, but this is called Tim Gets Caught Up. But Amy Madigan, she deserves this Oscar because she was robbed for Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
All right, we can talk about new things now. A live-action TV adaptation of Dungeon Crawler Carl is now officially in development at Peacock. Seth MacFarlane producing it, so he must like these books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, he got the rights, or Fuzzy Door, his production company, they licensed the rights almost a little over a year ago.
Okay.
And so it's been, there was a whole year of everyone asking what's going on with it, and Matt only sat down with MacFarlane in December to start working on it. So it's taken them a few months to get everything situated, but it looks like the ball's rolling. The guy that's writing it, and he's also the showrunner and the director, he did a myriad of episodes of The Mandalorian. He's an accomplished writer for making IP into good storytelling. So that's a plus.
Now, will Jeff be involved?
That's the big question everybody's asking. Everybody wants to know whether he's going to, you know, if he's going to be a character or voice.
He's got to be Princess Donut.
Or the AI.
Yeah, either one would be. And he said, when we talked to him, either one would be fine with him. But I think as the fandom goes, they want him to be Princess Donut.
I'd rather have him be the AI. New achievement. Any idea how long it's going to take before production begins?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we saw it before the end of 2027, if then.
All right, I got to live. Casting update for Dexter Resurrection. Brian Cox will be a serial killer again. He began his serial killer career as the first Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter. Anyway, Brian Cox is going to play the New York Ripper, the serial killer that was mentioned in season one. And it's his first TV role since Succession. And Brian Cox is always good, no matter what he's in. Even
those McDonald's commercials?
You say, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, he's also got Super Troopers 3 coming out.
Yeah. Sure.
No way.
Yeah.
I never saw the sequel. I liked Super Troopers. I loved it.
Oh, the sequel's good.
Yeah.
It's all Canadian.
I had this residual embarrassment because I met Jim Gaffigan once and I just kept saying meow.
All right, meow, where were we?
I'm sorry, are you saying meow?
Am I saying meow?
I did stuff like that when I was drunk. Now I just speak to them like people. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. It's tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. You can get a huge slab of cake, some waffles, maybe some pancakes and sausage. That way you're satisfied and full while you're having a beer and watching very funny comedy. Coming up, it's the World Series of Comedy wrapping up on April 11th. Also April 11th, Chris Andrade, an all-Spanish show. April 16th, comedian Chris Brown. The 17th through the 19th, J. Chris Newberg. And on April 20th, Mary Ryan Brown. Patreon members, keep an eye out for your chance to win a pair of tickets or passes to see an upcoming show. Congratulations to this week's winner, Emily Hine Warren. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. Howard and Beth Stern are being sued by a former assistant, an executive assistant who lived with them, who claims that she was subjected to a hostile work environment because of a chaotic household, an animal rescue, up to 900 cats.
Wow.
lots and lots of cats.
Let me see if I can get into Howard. Let me see if I can do Howard. So in a sense, you had a lot of cats in your house, and what I need you to do is to go get some cat food. Meow mix. Go get some meow mix and pick up some lesbian strippers on your way back.
Wait, did Howard Stern have 900 cats in his house?
No, his wife has that pet rescue. Yes.
Yes, his second wife. His first wife rescued a lot of his money when they got divorced. But second wife, Beth. Beth was a model. I believe she's from Pittsburgh. You ever see the movie from 1996 called Flirting with Disaster with Ben Stiller and Patricia Arquette?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
It's you've seen it, Jeff, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Brolin is in it. God, a lot of people are in it. Lily Tomlin. So basically, Lizzie, this movie is a 1996 Ben Stiller movie, Taya Leone. He's an orphan, and he's trying to find his real... Not an orphan. He was adopted. His mom and dad are played by George Segal and Mary Tyler Moore. And he wants to find his real parents. So he goes to... He contacts the adoption agency, and the movie is his hijinks as he goes around and meets these people who they claim are his parents. And eventually he ends up with Lily Tomlin and Alan Alda, who are very smart. They make LSD in the desert because they're scientists and war people and stuff. Anyway, there's one scene where... do you remember the lady that played... Darlene, I think that was her name. Her name is Celia, and she was the last replacement waitress on Alice. So if she talks like this,
yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, wasn't she the mom in Wild at Heart?
Yes. Yeah. No. The mom in Wild at Heart was actually Belle, who was the she replaced Flo.
Okay, she was the second one.
I'm going to blow your mind here, okay? She plays Belle, right? Laura Dern's mom plays Belle. It's the first replacement for Flo. But in the movie, Alice doesn't live here anymore. She plays Flo.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And Vic Tayback also plays Mel in both the movie and the television series. I know that Lizzie was really itching for some Alice trivia tonight.
I got it.
Early to rise, early to bed. And in between, I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head. Going through life with blinders on, it's tough to see. I gotta reach out and look for me. There's a new girl in town and she's looking good. Got a smile, got a song for the neighborhood. Things are great when you stand on your own two feet. And this girl's here to say, with some luck and love, life's gonna be so sweet. Bum, 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 bum. I mashed up the two.
Everybody from that show is dead.
No, they're not. Linda
Lavin. That was amazing.
Linda Lavin died just last year.
And yes, she sang both of them. Both yep. She did. Versions.
She also told Meadow to go on a trip to Europe on The Sopranos.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does Dad touch you? What? No, gross. Let's see. They're all gone, aren't they?
Victor and Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy died in an accident.
Yeah,
freak
he went
accident.
Early.
Yeah, and his sister's still alive, Nancy McKeon.
Yep.
No one from the cast of Alice is alive anymore?
I don't think so.
Maybe Vera's husband?
No, I think he died a while ago.
I'm going to watch Alice get back into it. It's been a long time. So anyway, Howard Stern and Beth Stern are being sued, and she doesn't want money, this person. She wants to avoid a disputed NDA she said she never signed, so she's going to be writing a book. That's my thought on all this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys excited for Michael, the upcoming biopic of
Michael Jackson?
I just don't think they can do him justice, if you ask me.
They can't do him justice, and there's other things they can't do. They spent $10 to $15 million reshooting the third act, which was originally going to be focused on the child naughty allegations, but they've since pulled that out of the movie, and it's going to focus on the bad tour. not the bad tour that he did, but the tour he did supporting the album, bad.
But they got the cousin or the nephew of Michael to do this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's in the family. It's he sounds exactly like him. He's actually doing the vocals himself.
Wait, the nephew of Michael Jackson is the one playing Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's all done in family. That was the whole thing about
Janet Jackson's kid or who's the parent?
It's one of, let me see whose it is.
I mean, he looks just like Blanket.
Jafar is Jermaine Jackson's son.
Okay.
Michael's nephew.
Chris Rock joke. He's the... Never mind. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
All right. The Malcolm in the... We're going to move on. Malcolm in the Middle returns, and by the time you're watching this, it has returned. So if you have Hulu and you liked Malcolm in the Middle, watch it. April 10th. Life's Still Unfair. 4-episode limited series bringing back most of the original cast. Malcolm is an adult. Eric Persullivan, Dewey, is not returning, but the actor that they hired looks like a grown-up Dewey to me because he left acting a long time ago. He's focused on graduate studies. And I think that's pretty cool because they must have offered him an S-load of money.
Yeah, they rolled the bank truck up to his house and he still said no.
Yeah.
Dewey was my favorite. Yeah. And he's the only decent character in that show, by the way. Yeah. Like the only decent human.
Why do you think he didn't want to do it? Is there was always allegations, terrible allegations, that I don't believe. Maybe that has something to do with it, or maybe he's just one of those people who's like, hey, I like my private life.
I've never heard about the allegations, but from what I see, like the cast seems to really love each other.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, a lot of people, especially a lot of child actors, once they get into an age where they're on their own, it's maybe wasn't something they wanted to do in the first place. It was something their parents wanted them to do. So they just separate themselves from it and no reason to dive back in, even if they offer you the money.
Is the little kid who had breathing issues, is he in it?
Yeah, he's in it through the glasses.
I guess Malcolm is married, and they're going to be celebrating the 40th anniversary right at the parents. Frankie Muniz, is that how you say his name? Muniz. He is in the NASCAR truck series. So Malcolm in the Middle, they're going to sponsor his truck or his car at Bristol. They must have made so much money off of that show.
Oh, yeah. With syndication alone.
Yes. Or even when it was on. I mean, it ran, what, 6 years, 7 years? Maybe not that long.
I think it was nine. I was reading something that Jane...
Kasmerick?
Yeah. Thank you. Was up for Best Supporting Actress every year that was on. 9 years. I think it was 9 years. And never won it.
Maybe she'll get it now.
Because sometimes I'll be like, hey, it's rest time at home, and Al will put on that show. And I'm like, I can't rest with that on because it's like her yelling.
Yeah, it was seven seasons.
Okay.
Yeah, till 2005.
Gotta have Aaron show up. Yes, I know. They ought to have Aaron show up. Yo, Mr. White. Yo, Malcolm's dad. Bitch. Can I sing some more TV songs?
Yeah. It's a Charlotte Ray version of the Fact of Life theme.
She did sing it, didn't she?
She did.
You take the good, you take the bad,
take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
There's a time you gotta grow and show you go, and now you know. I like it when she's all messed up in hair and dancing on the table. It's the first movie, by the way, where I ever saw Beverly D'Angelo with no shirt on.
What movie?
Hair.
Oh, Hair.
Yes, it was on HBO when we first got it in our town, and it was on during the day. And I liked the music, and I liked that it was the 60s and stuff. But I also decided when I was 11 that I liked seeing Beverly D'Angelo skinny dipping.
I have a few friends like that, where their first person was Beverly D'Angelo.
Well, she wasn't my first person, but I did like it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember my first. Let's all say who our first celebrity crushes were. And Lizzie, you can go first, because ladies first.
Probably Rob Lowe or Patrick Swayze.
Those are good choices. Very strong. I like that you said those instead of Ralph Macchio. Jeff is probably some 70s porn star, but let's go. Jeff?
I can't remember her name. The original Catwoman? Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar. Ah, yeah.
She's still alive.
I know she is to pot, too.
Mine probably Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett. Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I have to say the first two women that I ever knew about or saw that were like, this is nice. You know, give you that better butterflies. Julie Newmar, just like Jeff, and Farrah Fawcett. And I actually had, and my parents shouldn't have bought this for me, but I had the orange bathing suit nipples poster when I was like seven.
Yeah.
I remember being like, they see as a girl, I'm like, they make my heart hurt.
Yeah.
like that's how I described it when I was like 5 years old.
That's how I felt about Farrah Fawcett. Until she burned the beds. So I think we're all going to watch Malcolm in the Middle. We're all going to watch, I believe we're all going to watch The Boys, except for Lizzie.
Yeah, I already watched the first one.
I haven't yet. We're not talking
somebody about from the Seven doesn't make it out of the first episode.
Somebody from the Seven?
No.
Don't tell me. I'll watch it this weekend or tomorrow, maybe. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go to the Punchline and be a judge at the World Series of.
Oh, are you?
Oh, fun. Are you really?
Yeah. Jamie and Marcy asked me to go tonight, and I couldn't go. So I got to, after we're done, I have to do some other work here. But I had tomorrow night free, so I'm going to go. Looks like fun.
Oh, that's cool. That would be fun.
Yeah. Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, our long-running partners in this little scheme of a podcast we have. Starting with Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are over in Conyers, which is Dustin's neck of the woods, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a family-owned restaurant in Conyers with the best local craft beer. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Craft beer not your cup of tea? Well, guess what? Try the $4 16-ounce Tallboy cans of Busch Light, Natty Light, Coors Light, and PBR. It's gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties. So just go out there and munch down and have a couple of brews and say that we sent you. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The food truck season is upon us, and they have a number of event dates scheduled through the fall. So if you're interested in possibly booking Atlanta Pizza in Euro for a corporate or private event, please give Mike a call at 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by another longtime friend, our buddy Brett at LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, then all you got to do is contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. They got fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Is views.
Or.
Snooze.
Last week was the pizza movie, which I really enjoyed.
I thought it was good.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
As soon as Sarah Sherman showed up, I was like, okay, this is what kind of movie this is going to be.
Yeah. It does get to a certain point and then it just kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it about?
These two dudes take like some kind of weird drug and then unless they eat some pizza, it's going to kill them or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So they spend the entire movie trying to get from their dorm room down to the lobby to pick up their pizza from a pizza delivery robot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But it's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of people working against them. So it was good. And Your Friends and Neighbors are just back. It's still just as good as season one. And then The Boys, which just came back today. All right. You watched the first one. But this week, Malcolm in the Middle, which we talked about, comes out on the 10th on Hulu.
Definitely a views.
Yeah, it's views for me. The show The Audacity on AMC starts on the 12th.
Mm.
This is from one of the people that wrote Better Call Saul and Succession.
So it's going to be good.
And it's got Billy Magnuson, who was in that episode of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell with Josh.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It looks pretty good.
And Jeff,
Zach Galifianakis.
Your favorite show is number 3.
Yeah, number 3 is Euphoria. It comes back also on the 12th. They're saying it's the final season. Yeah,
maybe I'll watch it.
Their stars are kind of outgrowing their show. They got to get in.
And they're dedicating this whole season to all the people that died.
Well, that's cool.
It would be Eric Dane and the guy who played Fez. Arcade,
yeah.
You mean all the people who died in the history of dying?
No, from the show.
All
from
the people who have died.
You've been, is Linda Lavin part of that?
No.
No?
She sings the theme song, though.
This is probably their last season. You think they'll wrap it up this season?
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. Your shirt off again. So let's see your boobs.
You stole my drugs.
Lizzie's not going to watch it, though, because she thinks that Jacob Elordi is so ugly.
Yes.
Gross. For some reason, my TikTok's full of edits of him, and I'm like, it's just appalling to look at.
That hurt your eyes, so look at him.
All right, let's do staff picks. Thank you, Jeff. Staff picks. Mine, I have two this week. Sorry about that. Paul Van Scott has a YouTube channel that showed up.
You don't know what the fuck he is.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke. He don't know what the fuck he is. Paul Van Scott has a YouTube channel. And he looked familiar to me when I started watching it. It's a TV nostalgia, sometimes film, but most of the stuff I watch. He does the top 10 worst series as far as Nielsen ratings go every season.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that guy.
And I like his. He's good, and they're quick. He doesn't, he doesn't go off and blather about them. And so I watched those videos, but it turns out he's an actor, and he used to be in radio and stuff. I'd like to get him on here sometime. He seems like he'd be open to that. Because I just enjoy his content. It's snackable content, as the youth say. But I do like watching these because he finds the clips and the theme songs. And you can see these actors who ended up being on huge shows that if these shows had succeeded that they were on previous, you never would have seen them. So, and some of these shows are terrible. Like, I forgot that there was a Jillian, what's her name? Ann Jillian show. Do you remember Ann Jillian?
Yeah.
Well, played a ghost and only the one kid could see her in the house. Yeah. And it was the teenage boy.
Yeah.
And I remember that show. And then the other night I watched one, there was a series from 84 that I think Jeff made fun of me because everybody was watching the A-Team, but there was this show about this guy who drops a lamp and then this genie comes out, this black dude who's a genie.
That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, and I watched that show. And I think Jeff and other people at school were picking on me for not watching the A-Team.
You got bullied for it?
Yeah. Oh, you're watching a gay sitcom, but you're not watching the A-Team.
Completely off of topic, but since it popped in my head, what was the TV show with all the people that worked in the restaurant that was on like a tower?
And Jillian was in that.
Yeah. And Jillian was in that.
Yeah, and so was the... All right, well, now I'm going to look it up. So
and it wasn't the guy from Murphy Brown in it that played the painter?
Yeah.
Who'd he play?
He played in Murphy Brown, he was her painter that always stayed in the house all the time.
Oh, who did he play on that then?
I thought he was the cook or he was a maitre d' or something.
No. Here, I'll tell you the cast. So the show you're talking about is It's a Living, which was a sitcom that ran on regular TV and then got... picked up by
for syndication.
Yeah, the show was really about this actress, Barry Youngfellow. She was the main, she was Jan. But then you had Ann Jillian, Gail Edwards, Paul Kreppel was the snarky piano player. Marion Mercer, who was the wife in 9 to 5. Who else is in this that you would know? Louise Lasser, who was Mary Hartman. Crystal Bernard. Now, the guy you're thinking about is Richard Stahl. He was the snarky cook.
Yeah.
Or it could have been Earl Bone. I always got those two guys confused. Earl Bone was on the show. He was also, he's the psychiatrist in the Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. Cheryl Lee Ralph, who I had a crush on back when that show was on. So Michael Richards was on it from time to time. That was a good show. What made you think of that? Just that I brought up Ann Jillian?
Yeah, it was Ann Jillian, and I see her standing at that podium. It just, that's what popped in my head, and I couldn't remember what show it was.
Yeah, and Paul Kreppel was like the, to this show, his character Sonny was like Larry on Three's Company.
Yeah.
My other one, and check that channel out, by the way, Paul Van Scott. And the other one is just real quick. Paul McCartney's son, James McCartney, is a musician, and he put out a single this week called Black Americano, and oh my God, it's really good. So there you go. That's my staff picks.
Ironically, my staff pick this week, I picked up the 4K edition of Wild at Heart.
Nice.
Since we brought it up earlier. But yeah, David Lynch movie, Nick Love Cage, that. Laura Dern, Willem Dafoe, Crispin Glover. The movie that seems like a scary love story that never goes anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't ever reconcile anything, much like a lot of Lynch stuff. But this one in particular, it's like,
I got to watch there's Lost no Highway. You have that on 4K?
Yeah.
Lost Highway, the most bizarre movie mm-hmm. ever made. I'm going to watch that.
I went to Pizza Hut Classic today in Dahlonega with my nieces and nephews.
Oh, really? Did they have the red cups?
They did. Well, nice. They weren't glass, though.
No, they're plastic.
Yeah, plastic. Well, I remember them being, like, thicker when I was little.
Oh, really?
But they had the hanging lamps, and they even had a salad bar still.
Nice.
Nice. Did they have the tabletop Pac-Man?
No, they actually didn't have any games or any claw machines, which I was like, can you call yourself a classic?
No.
Especially with a tabletop.
You don't have those. But, yeah, it was fun. It's good pizza. It's a good time.
So it's actually a sit-down restaurant with a waitress and everything?
Yep. It says, please wait to be seated when you walk in. Oh. And, yep.
Was the pizza the classic Pizza Hut pizza?
You had your choice like of the different crusts. But right. I was like, the pan pizza is what we want, people. Yeah. So we got the pan pizza. But you can get like a New York style, which I think is 18 inches as opposed to 16.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, but we went with the original, and then my niece and nephew ordered chicken fettuccine, and it comes with like a whole big thing of breadsticks with the chicken, and it's only $10 for that.
Damn.
Yeah, my nephew was like, oh my gosh, 80s prices too.
Well, I'm going to have to drive. Well, listen, I'm not driving all the way to DeLong, but if I happen to find myself up there, I will go there.
Yeah. I mean, we just drove up 85, pulled off at Gainesville, and then you go through Gainesville to Dahlonega, and it's just right on your left.
It's left on your right or right on your left?
Right on your left.
Right on your left.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for your staff picks, and I guess this is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball. This is it. Straight ahead, and rest assured, you can't be sure at all.
One day at a time.
Mm-hmm. One day at a time. Okay. Did you ever watch that show Dream on HBO?
Yeah, I love that show.
You're reminding me of the character from Dream On this episode, for sure.
Brian Benben, why?
Well, because you're knowing all of the shows.
Yeah, falling back into all the old TV shows.
Yeah. Knowing all the songs and the quotes.
We used to do this all the time when we first started the show, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Dream on HBO Max?
They must not own it.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have been watching that show as a kid, but I did.
Yeah, I only watched it because it was funny and there was nudity in it.
Yeah,
which was interesting.
And also, you had let's look at this show. Let's just examine this before we wrap up this week. Look at the cast of this show. You had Brian Benben as Martin Tupper. You had Wendy Malick as his ex-wife. She's always good. And that's where I first saw her. Denny Dillon. Do you remember Denny Dillon? She was
from Saturday Night Live.
Yes. She was in that horrible season that Gilbert Gottfried was in. The Gene Dumanian season. You had Michael McKean as the boss, Gibby Fisk. And he was doing a British accent the whole time.
Yep.
Courtney Cox. Dorian Wilson was Eddie, who was Brian's best friend. So that was a good show. Yeah, and it ran for 6 years.
Larry Miller.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. 6 years this show ran. So I got to wonder why it's not in syndication. Let's take a look.
Is weird. Why isn't it?
It's streaming. I bet you it's because of the movies.
Yeah, there was probably too many clips of stuff.
Clip licensing, that is the main thing. Ownership and residuals. That's the second thing. But the show relied heavily on clips from old movies and TV shows, which is why it's... WKRP had the same problem, but they sorted it out.
What was the other one that had the same problem with the music?
Northern Exposure had Northern the same Exposure. Thing.
Yeah.
So that's not streaming anywhere?
It just came back, but like a year or two ago, it finally was able to be let go because of all the licensing stuff they got situated.
So if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. We have two new stickers that we're going to be sending out to everybody. Everybody gets two that's already on there. That's at the $5 and up level. So that's our base level. If you want to do that, that's fantastic. We would love it if you would do that. $5, you know, that's almost a gallon of gas these days. I understand that, but anyway. Or you can join up and be a producer for $25 a month, and you are getting yourself a t-shirt from our t-shirt shop, and you get a message. Well, see, I'm fading. You get a shout out every week for being an executive producer. And this week I want to say thank you to Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, and Pat Turner. Thank you guys very, very much. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, please let me know. And as always, when you're a Patreon member, you are eligible to win a pair of tickets to go to an upcoming Punchline show. Well, thank you guys. This has been a fun show. I like doing shit like this where we sing the songs and stuff. So it's been a lot of fun. I don't think we have anything else to go over, do we? Do we?
No. No. I just hope the world, I don't want to, you know, destroy any civilizations before next weekend. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. That was stressing me out.
It stressed out a lot of people.
That was
the you know what I did.
But his Easter text stressed or
happy fucking Easter,
with the fucking Easter bunny standing next to
him. I was like, that was so, it was so funny. And I was like, it is funny, but like, it's not because it's real, but it is funny. And you just see the Easter bunny like
explaining to the little kids that are sitting,
you know, Joe Biden walked around with an auto pen, you know, and he just, hell yeah, the auto pen, and somebody would give him the machine, and, you know, and
he was signing.
No clue what that is.
He was signing.
What do you think the bunny was thinking? He's just like,
Bunny was thinking, I hope he didn't stiff me getting paid.
I like my money. That's what the bunny. And then he goes,
you know, that's a wooden spoon. You know how I know what that is? My mother used to beat me with it.
Yeah, I keep sending Jones clips of, like, him talking war while the Easter Bunny's next to him.
You know, little kids, do you know where Iran is? We're going to blow the hell out of them if they don't open up the strait. You know, the strait, the little thing, they're going to blow it up. We're going to blow it up.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon. Keep it canon.
May all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.